from the AFC South out of Marquette University, our ESPN Texans reporter, Sarah Marshall! Sarah, how are we doing this morning? Welcome to Marty McGee.
I'm doing great. How about you?
Good. That might have been a little loud for you at this time of morning, but we have to do what we have to do. All right, so we will, we're going to give you the same question we give everyone this morning. However, this is with the caveat because the Texans don't have a pick in the first round. Their first pick isn't until number 40. So the most basic question possible, what are we expecting out of the Houston Texans when their name finally comes up on Thursday?
I think we see them go defense first. I think whether that's a pass rusher, because that's something they lacked depth in last year. They lost DJ Reader as well, which does not help that that position. Whether it's a cornerback to either find a new starting corner or just, again, give them some more depth there. I don't know what they'll do first because they have quite a few holes on defense, but I think after trading for Brandon Cooks, obviously a wide receiver is off the board with that number 40 pick.
So the Texans roster is a little bit mysterious here. All right, we've sent one of the best wide receivers in the league out west in Nuke Hopkins, all right, trading for David Johnson, who's a really talented player when healthy. Big win. All right, now Brandon Cooks comes in. Sarah, how would you describe what Bill O'Brien is doing with this roster?
I think confusing. I don't know. I mean, I don't understand trading DeAndre Hopkins. I understand the reasons why. I understand he wanted more money and that you're worried about your cap space in the future. You know, he's going to get a new contract because he still has 3 years left. I understand that you want maybe to look and find instead of having one stud wide receiver, maybe you want to spread the ball around more. I get it, but I just don't think it's the same I felt when they traded Jadeveon Clowney. I just don't think you trade elite talent like that. So that move really doesn't make sense to me, especially the value in return. Now, David Johnson, he's for 3 years. I know he was hurt one of the years, but he hasn't been that guy that we saw in 2016. Now, I think if they get that back and he is able to play at that level, the trade looks a lot better. But for now, I think Bill O'Brien is building the team he wants. Obviously, he's had success winning the division. We talked to him 2 days ago, and he said, we looked at a lot of teams, and he kept using the phrase layers. He said, well, look at those teams that have had success in the playoffs. They've had layers and layers of players, as opposed to just top-heavy players. He said, we can't afford to pay an elite quarterback, left tackle, defensive end, and wide receiver. And so that was another one of his reasonings for trading away Hopkins. So I think he's trying to build a more well-rounded team, but it came at the expense of losing a great player.
Well, there you go. It's certainly – there's been no lack of stuff to write or talk about down there and report on, Sarah Barship. So thank you for joining us. And now we'll you can have a quiet day now that we're done screaming at you.
All right, have a good one, guys.
All right, thank you, Sarah. There you go. And now, our ESPN Tennessee Titans reporter, Teron Davenport.
Teron Davenport.
Good morning, Mr. Davenport. How
are
we doing?
Teron, we don't know where you went to college or we would holler. We'd shout them out, too.
Yeah.
No, it's all good, man. Good morning. Good morning. I appreciate that music, man. It gets me pumped up.
Yeah, getting you ready for the Last Dance, the Jordan documentary tomorrow night. Give you something to do because I know you're not busy enough these days. What with the weirdest NFL draft ever coming up in just a few days, but tell us what are the Titans had a pretty nice year that ended actually earlier this year. But tell us what's the their biggest, even the most basic question possible. What's their biggest concern? Their biggest need? What's their target when they roll into Thursday night?
Yeah, I would say the biggest need is cornerback, and that's because Logan Ryan does not appear to be destined to come back to Nashville. So that being said, when you have Malcolm Butler and Adoree Jackson and nobody after that that is of any proven credibility, you have to go cornerback. So when you look at what's on the board, if they have their choice of Christian Fulton or Jeff Gladney, that's definitely the direction that they need to go, but they have to be careful not to reach, because if you reach and you grab somebody in the 29th pick and they don't contribute, now you reset yourself and you're in trouble. So they just have to be careful how they go about doing it. But if either of those guys are there, they definitely should pull the trigger at pick number 29.
We saw where Derrick Henry signed the franchise tender. What opportunity do you think he has to get a long-term deal in Nashville?
I think there is a very good opportunity for them to get that done. Both sides want to do that. Obviously, it's a little bit different with what's going on. But as long as they get that agreed upon before July 15th, they're good to go. And John Robinson, the GM, he said that that's something that they're working to do. Derrick Henry has continuously said that he wants to be a Titan. I think if you look at just the way this whole situation works, he's best suited to be with the Titans. I always liken it to a minivan, right? And a minivan is useful to one person but not to the other. And that's kind of the way Derrick Henry is to that offense. It revolves around him. So in this case, it's kind of like that family man needing the minivan to take everybody around in the family as opposed to a sports car. So it definitely works better for him to stay with the Titans, and I think they get a deal done.
Powerful minivan.
I love that, the minivan.
Very powerful minivan. That minivan's got like a one of those V12s in it.
It's got like an F1 engine in there. Teron Davenport, ESPN. So, Tennessee Titans reporter joining us now, talking about the draft coming ahead. Ryan Tannehill, Teron, is a guy that I covered at Texas A&M. Obviously, you know, you get to within a heartbeat of the Super Bowl. Do you think he can replicate the season that he had last year?
I think he could come close to it. Last season, what they were able to do was outstanding. Just when you look at having a 70% completion percentage, 9.6 yards per completion, they caught fire, and it really just worked perfectly for them. I think even if you have a slight drop-off, you still will be able to rely on him to win games for you. And really the way it's set up is all he has to do is make 2 to 3 big throws for them per game, and they're good to go. They're not asking him to throw the ball 35, 40 times per game. It's all predicated off of play action, and I think they can repeat it. And when you look at Tannehill, there's a different degree of confidence with him, and he's playing at a much higher level than he did with the Dolphins. So I think you can repeat what he did last year.
Well, that'd be good news for your Titans fan. There's an awful lot to change there, awful lot to replace when it comes to leadership, and Tannehill's going to have to take a lot of that burden. All right, Teron Davenport, thank you, sir. Good luck over the next few days, not sleeping, getting ready for the NFL draft.
Hey, it's all good, man. This is what I was born to do, so I'm looking forward to it.
And now, out of Jacksonville University, our ESPN Jaguars reporter, Mike DeRocco.
DeRocco.
Mike, welcome into Marty McGee.
Mike, what are your measurables?
Thank God you didn't list the height. Thank God.
Well, that's what I was just about to ask. What are the measurables, Mike? What are we got 5'9", 165.
This is radio. You can make them up.
I'm much more happy with the second one, and we'll go 5'4". How about that?
Okay,
5'4". Okay,
we'll take whatever you got. Yeah, I'm not a tall man by any stretch, but I really look short when a picture will surface of me on the field post game interviewing some future first round draft pick wide receiver from like LSU. And I'm literally got the arm completely extended with the microphone.
Mike sounds like he's ready to take off when Leonard Fournette's running downhill through a hole just to knock the fire out of Leonard.
Man, Calais Campbell is the biggest human being I think I've ever seen. And yeah. Whenever I would talk to him, just talk to him in the locker room, he would sort of like put his hand on my shoulder and lean over, hunch down, just so he could sort of kind of be in the same general area as me. It was really kind of someone snapped a photo of it across the locker room.
At least it was nice.
Yeah. It was awful. You might have
on the TV side. You might have worked with our Marty and I for years and years and years. Worked with Melinda Adams, a phenomenal field producer for ESPN TV, and she went to Cleveland. Was stationed in Cleveland for a while. Really, honestly, just to help cover LeBron James, and she's not quite 5 feet tall, and you know. I always felt like LeBron was just going to pick her up and put her on his shoulder. And, you know, to help her out. But, yeah, but it's some of those pictures, yeah, full arm extension. All right, so we'll start with you the same question we've started everyone with this morning. It's pretty simple. The Jaguars have the 9th and 20th picks in the draft. What's the primary concern, and what are you expecting to see out of them right off the bat Thursday night?
Yeah, you know, don't be surprised if this team does try and pull off one of the trades that everybody seems to be talking about and move up for a quarterback. But if they don't, I would expect them to be concentrating on defensive tackle, cornerback, you know, Derek Brown, Javon Kinlaw, probably at 9, if they're available. And then at the cornerback spot, you know, if there's some way that C.J. Henderson were able to be that late, which you know, that's probably way out, never going to happen. But, you know, they've got to address, you know, those two spots. It's their two biggest weaknesses on defense. But, again, don't be surprised if they're, you know, moving up and you know, might have an eye on either Tua or Justin Herbert if they can move up into the top 3 or top 4 and grab one of those guys.
It's not every day that a guy comes out of the Northwest with a handlebar mustache and a bandana and some jorts and just completely becomes a phenomenon in an NFL city. How do you describe the Gardner Minshew effect?
I covered the University of Florida for 13 years, so I was there when Tebow was there. And it's sort of like that, but just think more country, more I mean, it's fantastic. He's a great kid, and he's a lot of fun to talk to. But it's sort of just a little bit more Beverly Hillbillies kind of feel, I think, than it was with Tebow, if that's the best way to describe it. He's just everybody in Jacksonville absolutely loves him. And it's funny because, you know, everybody in the Pacific Northwest knew who he was and loved him. And he shows up there at rookie minicamp, and we're like, this guy's different. Yeah. And for a while, we were like, in camp, we didn't think he was going to make it. We didn't think he was going to stick because he just didn't really look that good. And we asked Doug Marone about, hey, you thinking about adding a veteran quarterback? And he was like, yeah, well, we'll see what we have. And then all of a sudden, Foles goes down, and Minshew's the savior here. It was a lot of fun covering that kid. He's a different guy, man.
Yeah, and owns it. I went out. The only time I went out to Washington State was to do a story about him and Mike Leach, which the two of them, just when you're just sitting in a room with those two, you just turn your recorder on and just say, hey, guys, and then 3 hours later start transcribing. But he was, you know, same thing. I watched him practice for 2 nights getting ready for a giant game against USC on a Friday night national television, and he ran around like a deer with his knees tied together. And I was like, there's no way. And then he just torched USC on Friday night. So, yeah, I'm a believer, too. All right, Mike DiRocco, we appreciate you joining us, man. Hang in there, and good luck not sleeping between now and Thursday night.
Thanks, guys.
Yes, sir. And now, out of Central Washington University, our ESPN Indianapolis Colts reporter, Mike Wells. Mike, what's going on, buddy?
What's going on, fellas? How y'all doing this morning?
There you go. We're walking you in like the Bulls because in honor of the Michael Jordan documentary.
Because why not?
On Sunday night, why not? I should just have that as my wake-up song when my alarm goes off in the morning.
Exactly. Well, let me ask Mel this. So, do you think what will be more watched? The Last Dance tomorrow? No, Mel today? Okay, last – Marty Miguel. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's all right.
Last Dance tomorrow or the NFL draft on Thursday?
That's a great question. Well, I'll say this. I always say my wife, who could care less about any of this, is always the greatest gauge of that. And I know this. My wife has already said we'll be watching Last Dance Sunday night, and I know she don't care a thing about the NFL draft. So that might.
My wife doesn't really have a choice. We're watching the Last Dance.
Yeah, but
Exactly. Like I teach a class at Indiana University, a sports writing reporting class, and these kids are, you know, 19, 20, 21 years old, and they know very little about Michael Jordan, and they ask me if they could write a paper about it.
There you go.
That's how excited they are.
That's fantastic. All right, so you're getting ready for the draft, and you're also teaching online classes during the lockdown. You, sir, are like a Swiss Army knife. I'm impressed.
Hey, exactly. You know, I'm good as long as my kids or my new puppy isn't trying to get in the background. Everything's all fine when it comes to the education side of things. Of course, because, of course, I caved and gave my kids a puppy because I figured this is a great time for them to learn some discipline and respect, you know, responsibilities in the household.
There you go. I'm impressed that you're teaching life lessons, and also I'm not sure how you're doing all that you're doing.
Mike's dadding so hard, man. Yeah. I mean, that's going to be done.
Dadding and teaching and getting ready for the draft. All right, speaking of the draft, I'm going to give you – we just had Teron on from – covers the Titans, and I'll ask you the same question we asked him. Most simple one you'll get. What's the biggest need for the Colts once this thing starts on Thursday night?
Listen, they got their quarterback in Phillip Rivers, but – can you guys name a wide receiver not named T.Y. Hilton or Paris Campbell on the Indianapolis Colts roster?
No.
No.
Exactly. Exactly, fellas. They need to give Phillip Rivers some targets to throw the football to. Rivers had a plethora of weapons when he was with the Chargers, but no offensive line. He comes to Indianapolis, has one of the top O-lines in the NFL, but he has no targets to throw to outside of T.Y. Hilton and tight end Jack Doyle. So they've got to get some depth at the wide receiver spot. No first-round pick, obviously, giving it up to San Francisco for DeForest Buckner, but two second-round picks, 34 and 44, and I would be shocked if one of those two picks was not a wide receiver.
Why is Phillip Rivers the right guy for the Colts?
I don't know if he's the right guy, because you're talking about a guy who, you know, in his heyday, he was one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL, but he's 38 years old. He's on a decline of his career. He's coming off a season where he threw 20 interceptions, the third most in the NFL. But the key is the familiarity with Frank Reich, the head coach. Phillip Rivers and Frank Reich, head coach, Nick Sirianni, the offensive coordinator, they were all together with the Chargers, and Rivers has been running Reich's offensive system since 2013. And when we're talking about at a time right now where there is no on-field work for teams, this gives Phillip Rivers a jump on things, being able to get out there, and when football finally comes back at some point, hopefully, he'll know Reich's offense, and there won't be as much of a transition system as there would be if they drafted a rookie quarterback or brought in a different free agent quarterback.
Mike Wells, our ESPN Colts reporter, joining us now to talk about the NFL draft. All right, so Rivers is old. We all acknowledge that. I mean, Rivers, and we all talk about being dads. Rivers is a dad more than us, like nine times over. But how important is it then, knowing that you only have Rivers for a small amount of time, more than likely? How important is it then that you mentioned wide receiver, but the Colts got to find a quarterback in there somewhere, right?
They do. I mean, I know Rivers said, you know, he's not, you know, there's no guarantee he's only going to play one season. If he flat out goes out there and sinks on the football field, he's not going to have a choice. It'll be one season in Indianapolis. And, you know, we had a Zoom call with Chris Ballard, general manager, yesterday of the Colts. And, you know, maybe he's putting up a smoke screen, but he's like, they're not going to press the issue. He's like, you know, people are forgetting about Jacoby Brissett. Well, I hate to say this to Chris Ballard, but if Jacoby Brissett was that good, he would still be the starting quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts, and Phillip Rivers wouldn't be here. So they have to find something, because both players will be free agents at the end of next season. So once again, I think a quarterback is a need. I mean, you continue to hear about a Jacob Eason from Washington. I like Jalen Hurts. I mean, we've seen what he's had to go through when he was at Alabama, losing the job to Tua. Then he goes to, what I call quarterback U right now in Oklahoma, excels there. He's mature enough to be able to sit back and learn under a Phillip Rivers and potentially become a starter, next season in 2021. So the Colts have some issues they have to address. They're basically, by bringing in Phillip Rivers, they're looking at it as they want to win right now, get back to the playoffs, because this is a franchise that doesn't know much about the playoffs these days, missing it in four of the last five seasons.
Well, you're talking to two dudes right here, Marty McGee. You don't have to sell us on Jalen Hurts. we're big fans. Hey, we're big fans of yours, Mike Welsh, for joining us this morning. Thank you, sir, and good luck with your 19 jobs and your dad stuff between now and Thursday night.
All right, fellas. Hey, you guys have a great weekend, and most importantly, continue to stay safe and healthy.
Hey, thank you, brother. We appreciate
that. Thank you, man.